You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
It's time now for the Conservative Curmudgeon Radio Show. Now, here's Grouchy.
Are you ready for us to be strong? Are you ready? Are you ready for us to
All right, good evening, everybody, and welcome back. Finally, we're doing a damn show. I know, it's been about time. But life happens, and sometimes we just can't do this the way we want to. But I am so glad to be back. I'm sure that Rick is, like, rolling his eyes right now.
No, actually, I'm glad to be back, too. I haven't done any of this stuff in, like, almost a week because I've been so sick.
Well, there you go. I didn't know you were sick last week until last minute, so my apologies texting you there. All good, all good. We just bagged it and went on about our ways. And I see the chat room is already growing. We've got a few people in there. Have we seen Ordy in a chat room or on a show?
Unclear. I've talked to him a couple times this week, but...
Okay. Well, that's good. Hopefully his spirits are still well. But, you know, we miss our brother. And we'll do what we got to do. So anyway, we got plenty to talk about. Of course, the world is in turmoil. Our economy is in turmoil. And we've got a clown running the whole show from the White House. And
now, hang on.
You know,
now,
I just
hang
don't.
On, hang on. Come on, G. Everybody knows all of this economy stuff is all Putin's fault. Come on now.
Yeah, it is all Putin's fault. And Ordy is in the chat room. And it is good to see my brother in there. And that does my heart good. I've missed my boy. But, anyway, like I said, the world's going crazy. I really thought after yesterday's event in New York, and if you've been living under a rock for the last, I don't know, 36 hours or so, there was a shooting in the subway in New York yesterday. I really, really thought this was going to be the big tie-in to Biden's ghost gun action. But the New York Police Department nipped that in the bud today, showing the gun in photographs where the shooter had tried to scratch the serial number off of it, but was unsuccessful. Just a testament to the lengths that these gun companies go to. You really have to work to get a serial number off of a gun. And even when you think you've got it off, there are ways still usually to bring it out, unless you've almost ruined the gun. So, but yeah, acid etching works really well. You'd be surprised. But anyway, they caught the moron today. And this guy is apparently, you know, it's obvious that he's not well, mentally speaking. You know, this guy turned the New York commute yesterday morning into basically a really poorly done terror attack. But he opened fire inside a crowded subway, and then he called Crime Stoppers on himself this morning, and then calmly went for an afternoon stroll through the East Village. You know, they said that a call came into Crime Stoppers, and the guy said, you know, I think you're looking for me. I'm seeing my picture all over the news, and I'll be around this McDonald's, a law enforcement source told the Post, of the bizarre moment. Frank James, not to be confused with the older brother of Jesse James, called the cops on himself. So the unit responds, and he's not at the McDonald's, so they start driving around and see a man who fits the description. When they take him into custody, they find his Wisconsin driver's license. A couple of eagle-eyed New Yorkers also called 911 after they spotted James sauntering through the East Village. I think sauntering might be a really piss-poor word to use there. And I know somebody wants to sound like a J-school graduate and like they have, you know, a vocabulary that's robust, but really, this dude was gimped to one side, either really bad hip or knee problems. So sauntering might not be quite the right word. But they saw him walking through the East Village, where he briefly sat down at an outdoor dining shed, and the NYPD swooped in and put him in some bracelets. Federal prosecutors wasted no time in charging the man, 62-year-old man, with terror-related offenses for firing 33 rounds on a Manhattan-bound N train Tuesday morning, leaving 10 people with gunshot wounds and another 19 injured in a mass shooting that shocked an already rattled city that's been reeling from a citywide crime surge. Yes, you'll remember it was just last week where Mayor Eric Adams was putting out the welcome mat for Floridians to come to New York because you can say gay in New York. Yeah, you might get shot for saying it, but, you know, you can't afford to live in New York. Don't dare stand up for your children. They'll attend school masked and will be managed by the city. Let's see what else. Oh yeah, the crime wave just completely out of control up there. Yeah, great place to go. You should definitely leave Florida and go to New York City. Right. No, seriously, if you think that the law banning teachers from talking to little kids about their sex is okay, their sexuality is okay, then yeah, you really should move to New York City. And I wish you the best. But they arrested James, who didn't put up a fight, just before 2 p.m. at First Avenue in St. Mark's. And he's facing one felony charge for committing a terrorist attack against a mass transportation system. He faces life in prison if convicted. Mayor Adams was quick to hold a press conference saying, "We got him. We got him." Yeah. I'm sure the cops feel like you contributed heavily, Mr. Mayor. It was a little better than 24 hours after the attack. So right around 30, 32 hours, something like that. It left people this morning with a lot of fear and anxiety, I'm sure, you know, just wondering, should they take the train? But Adams continued, "I said to New Yorkers, we're going to protect the people of this city and apprehend those who believe they can bring terror to everyday New Yorkers. And I want to thank everyday New Yorkers who called in tips, who responded, who helped those passengers who were injured. 29 victims in all that were injured, 10 hit by gunfire, 19 suffering a different range of injuries from being trampled or pushed down or, you know, pushed into something. The weapon used in the attack was a 9mm Glock. It jammed in the midst of the bloodshed, which law enforcement says prevented further carnage. So, which is really weird because I've never seen a Glock jam. I don't know. Rick, you've worked in the field, you use firearms. You ever see a Glock jam?
The only one I've ever seen jam had about 5,000 rounds put through it and was never cleaned.
Well, there you go. I suppose anything's possible. If you've ever seen the demo video of a Glock from when, I guess when they first started getting popular in the U.S., the demo video was incredible. The man field strips the Glock. He runs all the parts through water. Then he runs them through sand. Then he runs them through water again, puts the thing back together. They fly it 350 feet up in a helicopter and drop it over a parking lot, let it hit the parking lot. He picks it up, loads a magazine, and unloads it. Like unloading it by firing it.
Yeah, they're stout-ass guns, so I mean, it takes a lot to make one jam. I've only seen it once, but it was somebody that I know that basically was one of the instructors, and he basically put it through its paces and just said, "I'm just never going to clean it." So at about, I think he said he was at 5,500 rounds at the class we were in when it finally jammed. It had 5,500 rounds put through it, had never been cleaned, and it finally jammed.
Well, there you go. I mean, could this guy have shot his Glock that much? He could have. I don't know. But anyway, we got a jam Glock. The cops are still working to figure out how this half-hunched back, half-gimp escaped after the attack.
Hey, I'm feeling attacked over here. What the hell?
Hey, you don't have a humpback.
Well, maybe. It's been a while since you've seen me. Maybe some things have changed.
Yeah, it's been a little while. Yeah, I suppose. It could be. You better be taking care of yourself. That's all I got to say. But anyway. He blended in with a wave of commuters that transferred from the N train to the R train immediately following the incident. Prior to the attack, James had posted several rambling YouTube videos where he railed against the city's mental health services, complained about race issues, and spoke violently against people who believed or who he believed wronged him. He mentioned Mayor Eric Adams in one of his rants, in which he claimed a race war will follow the Ukraine conflict. Now, this is him talking in his video here. I'm quoting him. "It's just a matter of time before these white motherfuckers decide, hey, listen, enough is enough. These niggas gotta go." That's what he said in his video. And then he continued and he said, "And what are you gonna do? You gonna fight? And guess what? You gonna die. Because unlike President Zelensky over in Ukraine, nobody has your back. The whole world is against you, and you're against your fucking self. So why should you be alive again? This is the fucking question. Why should a nigga be alive on this planet besides to pick cotton, chop sugar cane, or tobacco? Wow. I told you he wasn't well. In another video, he tells a rival from his youth that, "I need to see you bleed," and vows to watch him die like a rat. So, hold a grudge much, dude? You're 62 years old and you're talking about a childhood rival? Anyway, do I believe the guy knows right from wrong? Yes, I do. Do I think he still needs mental health assistance? In a big way. But, anyway, Rick, I was starting to think you weren't real. Who thinks Rick isn't real?
Well, that's been a joke going around for forever since I took almost a year off. Everybody started... That was the Dan joke at first. Everybody's like, "Dan's not real," and then my life fell apart and I disappeared for a while, and then when I came back, it's like, "Yeah, you're not real."
Who is guest 816?
I think that's Raptor.
Do we know? Huh?
I think that's Raptor.
Oh, okay. I'm used to seeing his name, so. Anyway. Okay. So yeah, like I said, this guy is a wackadoodle and definitely needs some help. I don't see any way he avoids standing trial for what he's done, though. So, we'll see. We'll see. I don't think he'll be using a $500 an hour lawyer. So, you know, I imagine this will go pretty quickly. In other news, across the little pond, the big pond is the Pacific, the little pond is the Atlantic, but across the pond, Sweden is poised to join NATO.
So and it could happen early.
What?
Sorry, there goes all the old jokes about them being neutral.
Oh, that's Switzerland, isn't it?
I know, I'm just being facetious.
Oh, okay. I gotcha. Yeah. So the Swedes are looking to join the NATO military alliance as early as this summer. And Finland could follow suit shortly after, and we'll all celebrate with a nice herring smoothie. How was that?
I give it an 8 out of 10.
That's not bad. That's not bad for on the fly. I'll take it. So, European countries which have remained outside the NATO bloc have been weighing up overhauling their defense policies in response to Russian aggression against Ukraine. Leaders in Stockholm made up their minds, according to the reports in Swedish media, and will apply for membership almost immediately. Prime Minister Magdalena Andersson and other party leaders have decided their goal is for Sweden to join NATO in June of this year. She met with Finland's leader today, who said her country would make a decision within weeks on whether to join. But Finland's leader also said that Russia is not the neighbor they thought they were. So, with the two likely to act in near tandem, it tees up a potentially tense situation on the continent's eastern flank. Sweden and Finland are in a minority group of six that are members of the European Union, but not NATO, along with Austria, Cyprus, Ireland, and Malta. A senior NATO leader made it clear to both countries that the door was open to them amid reports. Both are prepared to reassess longstanding foreign policy stances after the Ukraine invasion. Admiral Rob Bauer, chair of the military committee, said on Tuesday that it is the sovereign right of the countries to decide if they want to ask to become members. speaking to reporters in Seoul, Bauer said that NATO was not demanding escalation and had not pressured anyone to join or for any countries to provide weapons to Ukraine. Anonymous U.S. officials, I hate that shit. God, I hate that. I hate Anonymous. I really hate Anonymous. Is that Magdalena Anderson? Did somebody just post a picture of her? Wowzers. The chat room is live, folks. Wowzers. Oh, that's the leader of Finland. Okay. Finland. Wow. Still. Hubba. Okay. Back to the real stuff here.
That's why Jeff's been learning Finnish. Just saying.
Yeah, he should. Holy smokes. Might make me renounce citizenship.
I wanna learn to say come to daddy in Finnish. I'm just saying.
Yeah, I mean, I can be a stay-at-home dad. Anyway. The anonymous U.S. official said that Putin has made a major strategic blunder by pushing countries who have rejected NATO for decades towards joining. Ooh, I'm sure he's scared. Obviously, anything that has been levied against him so far has not been enough to make him withdraw from Ukraine. Do you really think that if Finland and Sweden join NATO, that that's going to change his mind? I'm betting no! So the alliance's expansion into areas formerly within Moscow's sphere of influence and Ukraine's desire to join are a key factor behind the ongoing war. Now, yes, Ukraine has done it wrong. You don't get invaded and then asked to join. That's not how it works. Yeah, you gotta join and then, you know, you get the benefits. But, yeah. But discussions about both Sweden and Finland becoming members have been a topic of conversation and multiple sessions involving NATO leaders. Finland's Prime Minister Sanna Marin has confirmed she is considering applying, again saying Russia is not the neighbor we thought they were. Speaking to reporters in Stockholm, where she is holding talks with her Swedish counterpart, the Finnish leader said there are different perspectives to apply for NATO membership or not to apply, and we have to analyze these very carefully. But I think our process will be quite fast. It will happen in terms of weeks, not months. The Kremlin has already signaled its anger at prospect of the alliance growing further and increasing its footprint along Russia's western border. On Monday, Putin's spokesperson Dmitry Peskov said, "We have repeatedly said that the alliance remains a tool geared towards the confrontation, and its further expansion will not bring stability to the European continent." Yeah. Mike, you want to know how Zelensky became a billionaire? If I thought anybody cared about that, I would do a deep dive on Zelensky's money. But in the short, Al, that's really good. Your tax dollars. That's a big chunk of it, I guarantee it. But anyway, yeah. Hey, Rick, I know we talked about going commercial free, but I'm at a good break point here. Do you want to do a commercial break, and then we can just come back and do the rest of the show?
Yeah, we can. Give me just a second.
All right, let's do that. We'll take a commercial break. Enjoy it.
Well, eventually, if the computer ever listens, it's dinging at me right now, so hang on. Stupid Windows 11. I hate Windows 11, dude. I thought Windows 10 updated a lot. Windows 11 has updated on me like 3 times this week. In the middle of an update, everything locked up and crashed. I haven't seen that in forever. I hate Windows 11. Anyway, we'll be right back.
Maybe. All right.
Tired of paying outrageous prices for Viagra? Well, we have great news for you. Now you can finally get Viagra at huge discounts. Healthy Man allows you to save up to $500 on Viagra. Why pay U.S. pharmacy prices of $15 per pill or more when you can get Viagra for less than $3 a pill? Call today and get 40 Viagra pills for only $99. This can cost as much as $600 at your local pharmacy. You can't afford not to call us. If you want Viagra at the lowest prices, never pay $15 a pill pharmacy prices again. Get Viagra for less than $3 a pill. Call 1-800-516-7602 today and save up to $500 and get 40 pills for just $99. Healthy Man is fast, easy, and affordable. Operators are waiting at 1-800-516-7602 to take your call right now. Call 1-800-516-7602. That's 1-800-516-7602. Again, 1-800-516-7602.
As a small business owner, you deserve more. More confidence, more connectivity, more of the tools that help your business thrive. And at Cox Business, you can expect more from us. We don't just have sales reps. We have perfect plan identifiers, people who will work with you to make sure your business gets everything it needs and nothing that it doesn't. Your business deserves more, and that's why you can expect more from Cox Business. Call 800-526-8572 to switch today.
You are listening to KLRN Radio, where liberty and reason still reign.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's largest mortgage lender. Spring will be here soon, so if buying a new home is on your to-do list, right now is the time to call Quicken Loans. Learn about which mortgage options make sense for you and get a jump on your competition. With our exclusive Rate Shield approval, the low rate you lock today is protected for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. With a Rate Shield approval, if rates go up, your low rate stays locked. But if rates go down, you get that new, even lower rate. Either way, you win. Talk to us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com to take advantage. Here's another great reason to work with us. For a record 9 years in a row, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction for primary mortgage origination. Again, to lock in today's low mortgage interest rate and get the security of our exclusive Rate Shield approval, call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed-rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. License in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Hi, welcome to this Subway ad for the new Sesame Ginger Glazed Chicken Signature Wrap. How would you like it?
I'll take a...
Sports announcer at home?
Yeah, how'd you...
We just know.
My wife picks up the new Signature Wrap. It's got double the rotisserie-style chicken mixed with a sesame ginger glaze. She appears annoyed at me, but she shrugs it off. Those sweet and savory flavors are calling her name. She lifts the wrap and... She takes the bite! Incredible! And now she's closing the door on my... Subway, make it what you want.
Limited time only at participating restaurants. Double meat base and average 6-inch sub.
If you prefer real mornings, shouldn't you have a real breakfast? At McDonald's, we get real about breakfast. That's why you can have a savory sausage biscuit with delicious hash browns for only $1.50. It's time to wake up breakfast. Single item at regular price. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
The following program contains coarse language and adult themes. Listener discretion is advised.
Silver tongue. All right, welcome back, everybody. And yeah, that rooster. I got you, Ordy. I got you. And JC. They love the rooster, Rick. And by the way, the language warning. Damn right, we're coarse. So anyway. We were just talking about Europe. We're going to bounce back home because we got big things to do here at home, too. this wonderful economy. They keep talking about an economic recovery that's going on, and how Biden has directed this beautiful, beautiful economic recovery that's happening in our country. It's so great that the producer price index, which measures prices paid by wholesalers, rose 1.4% in March and 11.2% from a year ago. Both are records going back to 2010. Prices for final demand goods led with a 2.3% monthly rise, with service prices gaining 1%. The Wednesday release comes the day after the Bureau of Labor Statistics reported the Consumer Price Index for March surged 8.5% over the previous year. The prices that goods and services producers receive rose in March at the fastest pace since records have been kept, said BLS. The producer price index, which measures the prices paid by wholesalers, increased 11.2% from a year ago, and the most in a data series going back to November 2010. On a monthly basis, the gauge climbed 1.4% above the 1.1% Dow Jones estimate, which is also a record for a monthly climb. Stripping out food, energy, and trade services, so-called core PPI rose 1% on a monthly basis, and that is near double the half percent, well, that is double the half percent estimate, and the biggest monthly gain since January of 2011. Core PPI increased 7% on a year-over-year basis, and PPI is considered a forward-looking inflation measure as it tracks prices in the pipeline for goods and services that will eventually reach consumers. So as I told you a good 6 to 8 months ago, buckle up, this is far from over. Wednesday's release comes at the end of the day after the BLS reported that the Consumer Price Index for March surged 8.5%, blah, blah, blah. The producer side, prices for final demand goods led with a 2.3% monthly rise, while service prices gained 1%, up sharply from the 0.3% in February. Goods inflation has outstripped services during the COVID pandemic, but March's numbers indicate that services are now catching up as consumer demand shifts. What that means, if you don't know what a consumer demand shift is that means that your shit has become so expensive that you're not buying that shit anymore. So they're changing gears to look at what you actually are going to buy, which is probably what you have to buy, and you're putting off what you would like to buy until prices get back closer to normal. Energy prices were the biggest gainer for the month, rising 5.7%, while food costs increased 2.5%. Swelling inflation has prompted the Federal Reserve to begin tightening monetary policy. In March, the Fed increased its benchmark short-term borrowing rate by 0.25%. I know, because I beat that 0.25% when I refied my house. And that was the first step in what is expected to be a series of hikes through the year. Markets are pricing in an almost certainty that the central bank will double that move at its May meeting and will keep going until the Fed funds rate hits about 2.5% by the end of the year. Markets initially showed no reaction to the PPI news, with stock market futures hovering around flat and treasury yields also little changed. So that's your economic recovery that the left is trying to sell, that Biden has done this beautiful job. Recession is coming as people stop buying. Yes, that is correct, JC. That is exactly what's going to happen. Is if you remember the real estate bubble, when it burst and nobody was buying, think about that across the spectrum of goods and services. Just people hoarding as much money as they possibly can until things get back to normal. So, also close to home, sitting in the plaza in front of Union Station in Washington, D.C., with the U.S. Capitol behind her, Ordalis Harris, a 26-year-old Venezuelan asylum seeker, tried to control her two young children while she waited to get transportation to New York. 2 months ago, Harris said she fled Venezuela with her husband and children to escape Nicolas Maduro's regime. She crossed the border on Sunday through Ciudad Acuña, Mexico, and surrendered to U.S. immigration authorities in Del Rio, Texas. On Tuesday, she took an offer from the state of Texas to be taken about 1,700 miles to Washington, D.C. for free. And now a day later, she was about 200 miles away from her final destination of New York City. Apparently, she was enthralled by Mayor Adams' invite so she could come say gay. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But she says, we are very, very thankful for all the help that has been given to us outside Union Station. Frankly, we did not have the money to get here otherwise, and this is where we wanted to get to, so we are thankful for the help. She was one of the immigrants on the first bus transporting undocumented immigrants from the Texas border to Washington, D.C., under a new plan unveiled by Governor Greg Abbott of Texas last week. The governor said the order is in response to the Biden administration's decision to end Title 42, a pandemic-era emergency health order that allowed immigration authorities at the border to deny entry to migrants, even those seeking asylum. When the health order goes away at the end of May, federal authorities expect as many as 18,000 migrants a day at the southern border. Now hold that thought. Okay, I want you to hear that. 18,000 a day at the southern border. Keep that in mind for a few minutes down the road. Abbott said last week that Texas would bus migrants to the nation's capital, where the Biden administration could better deal with them directly and promptly. The program is voluntary for migrants and must be requested by cities and counties, but the state does pay for the buses. Said Abbott, by busing migrants to Washington, D.C., the Biden administration will be able to more immediately meet the needs of the people that they are allowing to cross our border. I love it. I absolutely love it. Little Peppermint Psaki said that this was a publicity stunt and that he had no intent in really following through with it. But I promise you, it is not a stunt. So, Abbott's office said transportation to the nation's capital would happen only after migrants detained at the border had been processed and released by the Department of Homeland Security. In addition to buses, Abbott also said the state could charter flights to transport migrants to the nation's capital. The migrants would have to show documentation that they had already been processed by DHS. So people from Colombia, Cuba, Venezuela, Nicaragua, made the journey from Texas's border to Capitol Hill on the first bus. The governor's office said, adding that another bus is already en route. Let's just keep them going, man. Just keep them going. Abbott's office has released a few details of the cost and the extent of the bus operations and did not immediately respond to a request for comment on the matter. The bus appeared to be operated by a North Carolina-based company called Elder Charters, according to video of the bus's arrival in Washington. The company declined to comment Wednesday and directed questions to Texas state officials. Harris's bus arrived Wednesday morning, a few blocks away from the Capitol at Union Station. where the migrants, flanked by several volunteers with the Catholic Church, awaited transport to the next leg of their respective journeys. That's according to John Ensler, president and CEO of Catholic Charities and a volunteer with the migrants. Most of the bus's passengers had family in the area and left immediately after arriving. Through her journey, Harris has said that she and her family had been robbed, left penniless to sleep on the streets, but said immigration officials in the U.S. treated them well, fed them, gave them documentation for future court hearings before transferring them to a church where they were offered a bus ride to Washington. Now, let me go on record here and say, yes, send them to Delaware and drop them off at Biden's beach house. I like that, Mike. That's a great idea. But let me say that this lady that they found here, this Ms. Harris, she's doing this the right way, okay? She applied for asylum. She surrendered to authorities. She's taking her court date seriously, and she wants a better life for her family. I understand this. I do. This is not every person that crosses our border. Now, with this going on, I want you to think back to the 18,000 a day that they were talking about after Title 42 expires, because the Mexican government has already warned the Biden administration that there is roughly 140,000 migrants heading towards the border looking to hit as Title 42 is lifted at the next month. As many as 4,000 are currently staying at shelters in the border town of Tijuana, while about 1,500 are housed in shelters in Mexicali as the clock ticks down towards May 23rd, the date when the policy will be lifted. Now, tens of thousands of additional migrants are in Chiapas near Mexico's southern border city waiting humanitarian visas from the country. Enrique Lucero, director of the Direction of Attention to Migrants of the municipality of Tijuana, said that the Biden administration's plan to suspend the measure raises many unknown variables on both sides of the border, and we hope that the United States is very clear about how it intends to receive all those asylum applications once Title 42 is eliminated, because it is not clear whether they will do it in person at the border or if they will do it online, Lucero said. If they do it in person, there will be chaos at the border because everyone will want to leave the shelters and arrive at the border and stand in line. And that's just going to create chaos for them and us, as well as the asylum seekers. Now, more than 1.6 million migrants, mostly single adults, have been expelled from the United States since March of 2020 when Trump enacted Title 42. The measure, which dates to a CDC public health law instituted in 1944, provides U.S. Customs and Border Patrol agents the authority to turn back migrants without allowing them the opportunity to apply for asylum because they were deemed a threat to spread COVID-19 in the country. So these are people that apparently had refused vaccination or, you know, just said, no, I'm not going to, and I'll just stay over here. I don't know. Dr. Moreno Mina, who is the director for the Coalition for the Defense of Migrants, said that more than 80% of the migrants are Central Americans, holding on to the expectations the Biden administration, which has shown an openness to asylum seekers, will consider them for admission into America. The hope for Central Americans is still latent despite all the changes that have come, all the restrictions, he said. The hope for them is that it is still there and it is difficult for them to return to their place of origin. You know, I have had this discussion with my friend Patriot Musket before, and we've actually discussed it on air before. It's been a few years ago, but if these countries are so bad that these thousands and thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of people have to flee, isn't it our responsibility to take over said countries and institute a viable economic platform in which they can flourish so they don't have to take these treacherous journeys? I mean, my God, we would save so many people if we just took over their countries and instituted a capitalist economy. So, you know, I mean, for what it's worth. Now, it's almost top of the hour, and you know, every week we like to end it on a happy note. So our happy note: a homeless dog that brought comfort to United States soldiers overseas will now get a chance to live the cozy life in America with one of those soldiers. The 3-year-old mixed breed became like a family to Sergeant K and his unit in Kosovo last year after they found him looking for food around their base. His daily visits and wagging tail soon became the highlight of their day, delivering comfort to those far from home. Sergeant Kelsey bonded with the pooch that he named Duke and wanted to get him to a better life out of danger. The staff at the New York-based charity Paws of War promised to help, so Duke and the sergeant could be together once more. But before Duke could find his forever home in the U.S., disaster struck. He stopped showing up at the base. The soldiers searched for him for days and had no luck and feared the worst. When they finally found him, they discovered that he had been shot and was bleeding badly and was severely dehydrated. Paws of War sent out an emergency vet team to save Duke's life. The nonprofit's overseas rescue partner, the Alamo Foundation, provided foster care for Duke while he healed. The pup spent 6 months recovering and eventually rebuilt his muscle strength to the point he was able to walk again. Recently, Sergeant Kelsey got a message from Derek Cartwright, a veteran and logistics coordinator for Paws of War. "We are thrilled to be able to tell you that after months of healing and rehabilitation, Duke has made a tremendous recovery and is ready for the next part of his journey. The lucky canine is projected to be reunited with Sergeant Kelsey later this month. The entire Army unit is so excited that Duke is coming home," said Sergeant Kelsey. "This is the moment we prayed for." Staff at the Alamo Foundation threw Duke a farewell party attended by everyone who assisted with his rehabilitation. Paws of War launched a fundraising campaign to help the cost of Duke's flight to the U.S., as well as his lifetime medical care. "We are happy to help them with this mission and hope that many people in the community will want to support it as well. We can't do it alone." And folks, if that's not a happy story, I don't know what the hell is. And that's all I got for tonight. I'm assuming there's a red wine coming up, Rick, yes?
Yes, there is.
There's a red wine coming up. So Jody Dye, A.A. Ron, I don't know anybody else. I don't know. Are Amish and Robinson going on tonight?
Si, senor.
Ordy and Rick after red wine. And I don't know if Rick's going to do it or not, but he just might do an America off the rails.
That would be a negative because we're doing a special one tomorrow night because I have guests coming up.
Oh, well, there you go. He's hoity-toity, all bougie. All right, well, you just heard it, folks. That's the update. Stay right here in the chat room. Stay online. Keep listening. Keep learning. That's my show. If you like it, tell your friends. If your friends like it, you need new ones. But they and you are welcome right here with me on Wednesday nights on KLRN Radio, America's Podcast Network. I'm your host, The Grouch. Peace.
I hate this place. Nothing works here. The medications don't work. I've been here for 7 years.
Here's to us. Here's to love. All the times that we messed up. Here's to you. Feel the grass. Cause the last few nights have kicked my ass. If they give you hell, it's time to go fuck themselves.
Go fuck
here's
themselves.
Here's to us.
Here's to us.
Here's to us.
To us.